Did you know that for every dollar spent on hardware purchases, you pay about $3 in support costs? That's an astonishing 1-to-3 ratio, and it is a significant chunk of an IT budget. Today, many organizations are virtualizing their servers and now are getting interested in driving down their PC management costs with a virtual solution, namely VDI, or Virtual Desktop Infrastructure. And if you are one of the many organizations planning your migration to Windows 7, there's never been a better time to consider VDI. I'm your host, James Hilliard, and on today's special Meet the Expert edition of Connection Point, we're sitting down. We've got a roundtable discussion planned for you. We've got our resident VDI experts, Tim Brown, Syed Ali, and Todd Ross, and they're going to be talking more about the growth of virtualization and the outlook on the virtual desktop. Tim Brown is a senior systems engineer with extensive experience in the designing and implementation of virtual infrastructure solutions. He's got extensive knowledge of VMware vSphere technology, also working knowledge of Windows 2008 server and the Linux operating systems. Tim, glad to have you on board today.
Thanks, James. Glad to be here.
Syed Ali is a senior systems engineer as well. His experience is in designing, troubleshooting, and implementing Citrix XenApp, Windows Server, Microsoft Terminal Services, also extensive knowledge in working with VMware technologies, and has even gone as far as getting those coveted Citrix and VMware certifications. Syed, thanks for being here today.
Thanks, James. Glad to be here too.
Last but not least, Todd Ross is here. Guess what? He's a senior systems engineer as well. He has extensive experience designing, troubleshooting, and implementing servers from IBM and HP, as well as a variety of vendors' SAN solutions and an extensive knowledge in working with VMware-based solutions. Todd, glad to have you here today.
Thank you, James. I'm glad to be here also.
One of the first things guys want to do is really get an idea of what you're hearing from in terms of customers that you've been working with on kind of virtualization in their environments and really where they have been starting. My experience has been a lot of people start in the data center. Todd, is that where you're seeing a lot of people getting involved in virtualization?
Absolutely. The data center certainly is the beginning of any virtualization project. You know, typically customers are going to start virtualizing their servers and then down the road, listening or hearing about the news with virtual desktops, maybe thinking that since they have an infrastructure already built for their servers, they may as well take a look at VDI and see what that has to offer.
And Syed, do you see any difference out there from smaller organizations to the larger enterprises, or is it across the board, the data centers where a lot of people start?
This is, you know, like Todd said, that's true, but for some small organizations, what I'm seeing, even if they don't have the server virtualization in place in their data centers, they are playing with the free versions of VMware or Citrix hypervisors. They want to, you know, adopt the VDI solution, but even if they don't have the infrastructure, but they are looking at, you know, they are trying out the free virtualization, you know, hypervisors available. So Todd is right. You know, people are really looking into the VDI solution.
Well, Tim, let's do this. Obviously, big game changer, the virtualization of the servers. We were trying to stop that server sprawl, some of these other things that were going on in our data centers. Now, though, as IT pros are looking, we've already brought up the term here, VDI, the virtual desktop infrastructure. Can you give us a quick outline of what really goes into that desktop virtualization?
Sure, James. Basically, what it comes down to is getting that desktop, and similar to the servers, you're going to virtualize that. So you're taking that OS and encapsulating it and putting it into a smaller footprint. And along with that, you can use you can take your applications and actually take those and virtualize, again, encapsulation. And what they're doing now is they're moving forward with profile virtualization. So you can combine all of those into the desktop so you can make it a lot leaner and a lot easier to progress into a desktop environment.
And I don't need to bring this to the very basics because we've got an educated group on board with us. But in terms of profile, Tim, we're talking about how the virtual desktop then looks to me when I go to one of these dumb terminals and sign on. I see all my icons in the same place. I see the right apps. That's the kind of the profile, the background of my screen, all of that look and feel.
Exactly, because you don't want, when you're switching over from a traditional desktop, you don't want to introduce new things to the users. You want to make sure it's the same look and feel, because the biggest thing here is convincing your users out there that it's going to be the same as before. So yeah. The least amount of changes, the better.
And in productivity, you don't want them hunting and pecking all over. Hey, where's this? I'm looking for this. You want something familiar. Syed, let me come back to you in terms of some of the biggest market drivers. And again, this might go back to conversations that you have with companies in the industry. What do you see are the biggest drivers that are giving rise to the growing demand for a virtual desktop?
One of the biggest drivers is, of course, Windows 7 refresh and growth. That's right, people. And then I will consider that as a big driver for the adoption. You know, people are looking into VDI because people are just tired of, you know, reinstalling the OS on individual desktops and then providing the PC support at the desk level. So what they are trying to do is basically deploy the Windows 7 in the data center and then push out the virtual desktop to individual users from the data center by running it on the server. And another big driver is the compliance and data security. Like, there are a lot of new government regulations, new security policies in the company. And then there were some recent security issues and exposures, which, you know, went due to offshoring. You know, there are a lot of people working overseas. So what the companies are trying to do is basically secure their data. They don't want the people working, let's say, in China or India to have access to their intellectual property. So they want to secure it. They want to control it so they can disable a lot of those, you know, like the virtual drive mapping and stuff. And, of course, they want to lower the cost of desktop and applications, because instead of installing the OS image on each desktop and then installing the applications, there's a lot of cost associated with it. So they want to control that too. And then, like I said, there is a lot of virtual workforce out there. So people, because there's so much outsourcing going on, this way, you know, when you virtualize your desktop, you can basically control it and secure it. These, I think, are the biggest drivers right now, which are driving the virtualization.
Well, Todd, let me turn to you here then. Are those drivers, things like trying to reduce costs, trying to reduce complexity, is VDI delivering? Is it giving the benefits to these organizations? Does it have enough promise there to really make people make the change and do something different? This is radical change in the way we compute. We used to give everyone a computer. Now we're talking about doing it in a virtual desktop infrastructure.
Absolutely. What I think is probably one of the biggest drivers really is, if you consider the administrative overhead of managing individual physical PCs, the images that users need, or the images that, you know, the organization needs to keep track of. Every time a new desktop is deployed that's a physical PC, it has to be imaged. So there's some administrative overhead associated with that. Also, if you consider that the average PC has, you know, probably a 200 to 300, maybe even a 500-watt power supply, and we really haven't touched upon this yet, but as far as the lowering the TCO of the desktop, thin clients are a huge play here, because the average of power supply or power consumption for your basic thin client can be, you know, as low as 6 watts.
Green savings there, which is something a lot of people are looking at. I even know that people are able to recycle certain machines, turning them into, if you will, these dumb terminals to get longer life out of the machines.
That's right. You can take out the hard disk, so no more spinning disk. You can just have it boot to a USB key and essentially turning that PC into a thin client and getting a few more years out of it.
Tim, I asked the question earlier about whether or not there were different size companies that were taking advantage of virtualization, one more than the other. And it sounds like between SMBs and the enterprises, both are taking advantage. What about verticals in terms of specifically VDI here, desktop virtualization? Does it have any real promise, one more than the other, in terms of the healthcare vertical or education, defense, government?
Yes, James, we're seeing a lot of, you mentioned the healthcare. Healthcare is huge in this environment, especially when we're looking at things like nurses' stations. They want to have those set up so they're free, hands-free on those, and the nurses can log on, and they're very, very secure. We're actually looking at things like smart cards, where a nurse would plug in that smart guard into her keyboard, log into her account. And if there's like a code red out there, a code blue, they'd have to run away from it. They unplug that smart card and it'll lock them out of their desktop. So we've seen a lot of that in the healthcare industry right now.
And that's a regulatory type issue in healthcare. You can't keep patient data where anyone can just come and see it. So the fact that as soon as that card's removed, they go work on that code, the computer shuts down, or at least that data goes away. That's a security issue as well.
Exactly. And what's nice about that is the way these desktops are now, that if that nurse is on like one floor, then she has to go to another floor. If she inserts that card back in, she's back where she left off. If she had a document over and she's looking at a patient record, it's right there. So it's that secure with this type of environment.
I want to get a quick survey from the three of you guys here. So I'll poll you, Syed, starting with you, because you brought up the launch of Windows 7, you think, as a driver. Do you think, and again, quick answer here, do you think Windows 7 is going to have a big impact on the adoption of VDI?
Yes, I think it will.
Tim, what about you?
Oh, absolutely.
And Todd, we're going to be talking to you more about some of this and kind of ties to Microsoft a bit later on in our chat here. But again, you think this is going to be a big leader in adopting more VDI because of Windows 7?
Absolutely. VDI has been around for, I've talked about it as a technology for a couple of years now. You know, we were looking at Windows XP, but now companies, seeing that Windows 7 is out, very positive reviews, rapid adoption, looking at, do I go with a new desktop with Windows 7 or do I simply virtualize it?
Todd, let me piggyback to the idea of Windows 7 here. What are some of the other reasons an organization should consider moving to VDI now? We know Windows 7, big change in terms of the operating landscape, but what are some of the other reasons why now might be the right time?
Well, because we're in a cycle where we're seeing companies, we're just coming out of recession, there's budgets available, companies want to evaluate going from their older PCs. Maybe they extended the life of their PC, you know, 3 to 5, maybe even 7 years in some cases. So they've got these older PCs, they're running Windows XP. You know, Vista didn't have a good adoption rate, but Windows 7, as I mentioned earlier, has received very positive reviews. So companies are looking at Windows 7 and VDI as way of introducing this new operating system.
Again, we've got our group on board here. They're all senior systems engineers with PC connections, Syed, Todd, and Tim with me. Let's continue on here. Tim, want to jump back over to you and talk about kind of the different types of virtual desktops that can be delivered. You gave a nice example a minute ago of the healthcare industry, but my understanding, they're kind of like three flavors, if you will, of virtual desktops. Can you give us a quick example of each one of those?
Sure. You have your everyday users where they're going to log in. They'll have a pool they can connect to, and they're just going to be presented with their desktop. So they'll have their Office products on there that they need, Office apps. Another way to do that is an offline desktop where, say, it's a mobile user. Say you're going to hop on a plane, but you need that desktop. You can actually, it's called checking it out, download it to your laptop, and then you can, you know, work on it while you're on the plane. Then when you get back onto a network, it'll do all the updates, so it'll send it back into the data center. And then also, along with those lines, you have thinned applications on there. So the user doesn't have to have Office right on there. They can have it streamed to a network share. So that's another good way to set up your desktop.
Syed, are there any types of users that are not a good fit, not a right group within an organization that should be moved to a VDI environment?
I think pretty much any users can use the VDI, but there are some users who are really using high-end graphics or multimedia applications, even though the protocols that are being used to deliver the virtual desktop, like ICA from Citrix or PC over IP from VMware, they are making a lot of improvements. But I think there's still some concern with people who are using 3D graphics application like AutoCAD or CATIA. Like, it might not meet their needs right now, but I'm pretty sure when they start playing with the technology, they will get on board too. As VMware, Citrix, and Microsoft, enhance their protocols like RDP via ICA or PC over IP, I'm pretty sure everybody can take advantage of VDI.
We've talked about companies, small and large, different organizations, the healthcare vertical, but I want to talk about people, Tim. What type of titles should be at the table having a discussion and making decisions about the implementation of VDI? Who needs to be there, and why are they important to the success of a project?
Well, actually, today I had a call where the CIO had been to an actual show to see this desktop in action. So they had specific questions about how do we move forward? Do we need assessments? Do we need proof of concept? So obviously the CIO, IT managers, they need to buy in. They need to see this in action, and they need to see, you know, get the hands, the actual touch onto the equipment to see how it works. But the biggest thing in here is the users. They have to be able to touch it and to feel it and make sure it's the same as before, because if you don't get that user experience, if they don't see the same as before, then they're just going to not buy into it.
For the server group, the desktop group, the IT guys out there, Tim, do you see VDI having a big impact on the skills that they need to be boning up on and studying for? Do you see that they have to approach the VDI world that they might find themselves in very quickly a lot different than they have approached their traditional technology IT setup?
Yeah, because now with a virtual environment, you're not looking at different models out there of a desktop or a laptop. You're not concerned as much with drivers, things like that. You're more back into the data center where you're working with one or two images, and you're working off of that image now. So you're more of a based in your office where you can actually do all your work. You're not in that sneaker net where you have to go with if there's a system crash out there or someone has problems. You don't have to go to another building. Now you can actually manage that from, right in your user environment. So you see a lot more skills needed, especially with virtualization, like Saeed mentioned, with the different companies out there. So a lot more with the, networking skills, things like that. So it's more based on, be able to get into that single pane of glass and do all your management from there now.
The sneaker net, I haven't heard that for about 4 years or so, and I'm sure that in four more years that'll be something much in the past and a thing of the past, and we won't hear a lot about it, except for the nostalgic IT guys are like, man, I liked it when I could go across campus, get a coffee, and take my time to reimage something. Now I can do like 10 of them in 5 minutes. All right, guys, let's move on here. One of the things I got to mix in here, Todd, want to throw this your way, is the idea of not only is it going to change VDI, it changes the way that users kind of interact with their machines. It definitely has a big impact on IT. It has an impact on the business side as well in terms of licensing of software and of the technology. Can you give me an idea about kind of how that changes when people move from, again, the traditional desktop world that we're in now to a virtual hosted desktop environment?
Sure. So from a Microsoft perspective, when we're talking about virtualizing a Microsoft desktop, whether it's Windows XP or Windows 7, you've got a couple of options when you want to license the VOS in a virtual desktop environment. So option one is pretty simple. If you are a Microsoft customer and your existing desktops, and when I say desktop, I'm talking about a full-blown PC, if you are licensed for the operating system, for the desktop operating system, and you have an SA agreement, you have software assurance with your desktop OS, you are covered for virtual desktops. Any other licensing model, if you want to deploy thin clients, if you want users to have iPads, if you want users to use Macs or maybe a Linux desktop or whatever, any other type of device other than a desktop, a standard PC, standard desktop, requires what is known as the Microsoft VDA license. And the VDA license simply stands for Virtual Desktop Access. So this is a new licensing model that was introduced, I believe, just back in March. Previously, we had something known as the VECD license that caused a lot of confusion. I think I like that Microsoft has come out with this and they somewhat simplified it.
And of course, if folks want more information about licensing, we're actually going to give out some information at the end of the podcast here so they can get a little more information and know where to reach out. But I think a good overview, Todd, and definitely it's something that people are going to have to be aware of. As you make this change, there are going to be some changes in the licensing, so it's something to be aware of. Tim, have you heard any pushback from any of your customers where they've said, look, our end users, they're pushing this, they don't want to do this, and that IT department has been able to go in and kind of overcome that resistance to the change?
Yeah, like I said before, James, those users do not like change. So as long as they can get that desktop with the same feel, the look and feel, and in the long run, make sure it's there's no latency. It's right there when they click that mouse. It's coming right back to them. As long as they can provide that, then the users seem to be satisfied. The least amount of change, the better.
All right. Want to kind of wrap things up here with a couple of marching orders, some tips for our listeners here. So let's start with you, Tim. Give me one or two of your top tips to an IT organization that's considering VDI. What should they be doing or thinking about now? Where should they be starting? How do they prepare for this journey?
Well, one of the things we always recommend, the first starting point is to get an assessment of their desktops, because they really don't know what they have out there, and especially if they have those remote users in different countries. So an assessment will give them a good look and feel as far as like CPU, memory, disk, and network I/O, what is really going on in their network. And that way they'll have a starting point as far as where they need to be to do a virtual environment.
All right, guys. Good stuff. Really appreciate the time. Let me thank you all in order. Todd, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
Syed, really appreciate your insights as well.
My pleasure, too.
And Tim, couldn't have done it without you, so thank you for being here.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, thank you to our listeners. If you are interested in leveraging the power of VDI to benefit your organization, you can learn more about services that you can use to help plan a successful implementation by turning to the PC Connection family of companies. Serving SMBs, government, education, and the enterprise, their team has the technical expertise, the professional services, and that extensive IT product line to transform technology into complete IT solutions for your organization. Contact your account manager to learn more about engaging the support of their on-staff experts when planning your next IT project. Their team of experts can help you with the assessment, the planning, proof of concept, design, implementation, whatever it is of your software IT projects. Learn more over at pcconnection.com. You can also call 1-800-800-0014. I'm James Hilliard, and this concludes our Meet the Expert installment of Connection Point.